Well, Lord, we just praise you for being our God, Lord. We just thank you for being our God. You're a God that has a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. And Lord, you're bringing us along in this walk that you've got us in. And we thank you for that, Father. You're just an awesome God. You're the creator of all creation. And Father, we just praise you because you're a mighty God. You're not only that, you're a loving God for your people. You're going to take care of your people in the days ahead, Father. We just praise you, Lord. And Lord, just keep us in your will. Keep us in that place that you want us in all the time, seeking you all the time, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for doing that. We just ask, Lord, for your anointing upon tonight's broadcast or the conference call. And Lord, we just praise you that you're going to fill us all up with your Holy Spirit and bringing us into that one accord and pulling that golden thread through all of our hearts and pulling it tighter and tighter and tighter until we're all come into that one accord, Lord. We just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight and from now on, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. What about prayers? Anybody got any prayer requests or would like to pray?
Michael, I'd like to bring up, again, the same girl that we prayed for a couple sessions ago, who's got suicidal tendencies and despondency and whatnot. And I'm a little distant from the situation. My daughter is very involved. And so I personally... I'm not in the situation, but I hear a lot from my daughter asking her for me to pray and whatnot. So I just wanted to pray for her again or just remember or thank God for what he's already promised to do.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
Okay, well, Lord, I just want to thank you again for hearing our prayers regarding my daughter's friend. And I just know you have a plan for her, that you wouldn't have brought her all through all these things to this point and just preserved her life and from her attempts at suicide and all these things that are going on repeatedly. And I just thank you, Lord, that you have your hand on that whole situation, that we don't look at these things from what we see in the natural, but we're looking at your promises and Lord, you said that I will save thy children. And also in that same text, you talked about that you would take the property or the territory of the, I forget, Michael, you could help me with this, of the enemy, that you would take that back. So I just thank you, Lord, that you heard our prayers and that you're quite cognizant of the situation much more than any of us. And I just pray, Lord, that though that we will pray effectively I just pray, Lord, that you will help us to remember and to pray and to stand in faith for what you've promised for this girl and her future and her family and all of her contacts. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, you said in your word that if we pray and if we believe what we pray, that we shall have it. We just pray, Father, your protection around that girl. Lord, that you're going to cleanse her of all of these spirits that are coming at her in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to bring her into you in a mighty way, Father, that you're taking her to the place where she'll call out to you, Lord, and putting the fear of God on her. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to love on her as she repents and bring her in, Lord, and we just praise you for the work that you're going to go do in this young lady in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask and I pray that you place it in Malcolm's daughters to speak wisdom into her, Lord. Give them wisdom. Give them the words to say to her that will change her whole complete life in Jesus' name. We believe it, Lord. We prayed it, we believe it, and we thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Michael, I'd like to just say that sometimes I sense that we have absolutely no idea how far God can. A lot of us have different contacts and whatnot, and yet there's. I don't know how to describe this at all, maybe I should quit while I'm ahead. But sometimes I get the feeling that we have no idea what God can do with the circle of contacts that we have individually, if we're totally committed to the Lord and let Him just use us, rather than us trying to work things out in the flesh for His kingdom. The reason I'm saying that is I get a sense in studying this Ashbury Revival thing and some of the contacts. In fact, the person that wrote that article I sent to you, it kind of blows my mind where all this could go.
Amen.
Catch my drift? Do you kind of catch my drift there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't know what God's doing when people get in revival. And people who are on fire for God, God will send them out, and I'm telling you, He'll use them like a lightning rod.
Let me just elaborate. The reason I'm saying that is I personally have been in a very isolated situation, whereas I used to be quite involved. And I think there's a reason for that, not that it's necessarily God's best for me. It's just that I think a lot of us have gone through this time where we feel like we're nothing and we don't make any contribution to anything. And yet, I just think there is a time for that, just like Moses off. You know, I often wonder how Moses felt, because he clearly had been, the Lord had given in him an inkling of what God wanted to do with him. And yet, for 40 years, he's out doing nothing. I mean, he was just a nobody, just absolutely nobody. And then suddenly the burning bush happened, and everything changed. And same with Joseph. He was a nobody. I mean, he was less than a nobody. And yet, suddenly that changed. In each case, it seemed to be a sudden change.
What we have to look at, Malcolm, is also, what did they do before they became somebody? God humbled them, and He worked on them to kill the flesh. And they, you know, both, you know, the story of Moses, we don't know what happened out there in that 40 years of wilderness he was in before God picked him, but I do know what God said about him. He said, that's the most humblest man in the world right there. Well, he wasn't at one time. When he was 40 years old, he was out there proud. He was proud, and he thought he had a job to do for God, you know, and take care of God's people. But he was trying to do it himself, and God had to teach him. He went into the wilderness. And that's where most of y'all are, where most of us are. We're in a wilderness now, and God is taking the flesh. He's taking the world out of us, and He's humbling us so He can use us in a mighty way. That's the way I see it. And Joseph was the same thing, you know. He was sitting up there spouting them dreams out, which is fine, you know. But he was a kid, and he had some things to learn, and God took him through some humbling experiences. And it proved beneficial to both Moses and Joseph after they got up there with the power that God gave them and could trust him with at that time. You know, and it was a humbling experience for both of them and for us as well. You know, here we are, we're all out here. The flesh, God is getting rid of the flesh in us. He's getting rid of the world out of us. He's cleaning us up for a special project. And that project is this revival that's coming up. And to teach people to do what we've already done. That's the way I see it. Does anybody else see something else? What do you think, Malcolm?
Well, I think, like you said, just being isolated isn't the key to being useful. We have to cooperate with God, and I'm not saying that I and epitomizing that. I'm just saying that actually the opposite. But I'm just saying, you know, like Joseph and Moses obviously cooperated with the Lord. You know, Joseph did express frustration to the, I think it was the cup bearer, I think it was, or the, anyway, one of those two, he expressed frustration and asked, you know, for an ear, for Pharaoh's ear there to try to do something to get him out of that situation. So, I mean, and I'm sure people go through that. It's just that, do we cooperate with God in that process of dying? Because it's possible to be isolated and then end up not being useful in the kingdom if we're not cooperating.
Amen. You hit the nail right on the head. What are we doing during this time of wilderness that we're in? We need, like you just got through saying, you hit the nail right on the head, and that is cooperating with God and allowing Him to work at work in all of us. You know, I actually feel for every one of y'all that are out there that don't have fellowship with like-minded believers. I went through that too for many, many, many years before I came out here. And we're still going through it, you know. But it's a process, just like you said, Malcolm, and it's a process that God's going to make. He's going to bring all of us into that realm to bear much fruit. We're all bearing fruit because we're learning how to walk like Jesus. And when we get to that place to where He's got enough of us, I guess that's when things are going to start popping. But that's kind of the way I look at it. I tell you what, I'm glad that He has brought me through what He's brought me through, but I surely wouldn't want to go back through it again. I'm glad that all this, a lot of this stuff is falling off and still falling off, you know.
Well, one thing I hold to is the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I think. You know, the common text we all know that where Jesus, where the Father said, come ye out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you and be a father unto you. So I think all of us have come out, at least that are on the physical phone line here. But we want to let God be a father to us. And because coming out isn't enough. Obviously, we'd come out and just kind of putter around.
Yeah. You know, when God separated Egypt from Israel, from the Jews, that was just the first part of it, wasn't it? Just going into the wilderness was the first part. And the second part was in the wilderness to prove who were the ones that were going to be believers. And as it turned out, only two of them. And that's what He's doing with us. And He's called many people to separate themselves from big time bad religion or apostate religion. But what they did with that was just think that they're okay. They're just treading water out there. No, we don't tread water. If you're standing still, you're not in the race. You're just watching the race. So what He wants us to do is what He had asked all of the Israelites to do, and that is to start believing. Start believing. And I believe what the Word said. And I ain't but one way to do that, and that's to get in the Word of God itself. And you know, get close to God and let Him show us what He wants out of us. Where does He want us? You know, where does He want me? What do You want me to do, Lord? Well, right now, He's got us all studying. He's got us getting rid of flesh. He's got us all in these trials and tribulations that we go through, these circumstances that we go through, to see who's going to be the overcomer. And when we get, you know, some of us, you know, have to go around the mountain two or three times in order to get something. That's okay, as long as you finally get it, you know. But that's what He's doing with all of us, it looks like to me. And once we do get through the wilderness and we do figure out like Joshua and Caleb did, that we can depend on God for everything, And we do depend on God for everything. Boy, not that we have arrived, but he's got us in a place where he can use us now. Too many of us want to go back to Egypt for the things that we need, when all we have to do is ask God. You know, just to speak about money, God has, money doesn't mean much to me now. It used to, but it doesn't now. It doesn't mean much at all, because I know God can multiply it. He's multiplied it in my billfold. I can't tell you how many times. Multiple hundreds of dollars at times, sometimes. And I knew it wasn't in there. And then all of a sudden, it's in there. There wasn't no way but God. So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of the people around us. And he's going to take care of you too. And so that's he's looking for sacrifice from each one of us. And that's the sacrifice of the flesh. Amen. It's hard too. It's hard at times. But boy, once we get through it, you say, well, why didn't I go ahead and overcome that before? Well, it wasn't time. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, just a comment on that, huh? Don't you think when the tribulation starts that some of these trials that we've went through now are going to seem pretty mild compared to the things that we will have to go through then? And going through the trials now will help us an awful lot of what's coming up.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe what I believe, Marlon, I think he's getting us into that place of trust. That trust in him. And I think he's, you know, I can see it happening. I can see it really happening in many, many people's lives, you know. And I believe even though there's going to be bigger and bigger trials coming up, we've already been warned about them. So we've already braced ourselves for them. And now all we have to do now is to trust God and keep our eyes focused on him. Don't worry about what you see around you. And just listen to the Holy Spirit, and he'll guide you through all of these trials. And you're right, Marlon. Even though these are going to be light in comparison to what we're fixing to go through, it's still training for us to trust God. Amen.
I know what helps me a lot is if I look back at a time when I really had to persevere to go through that trial. And if you can look back at when you did overcome, it really helps me an awful lot.
Yeah, it's good to do that. You're exactly right. We can look back where we were, say, 5 years ago, as compared to where we are now. You know, you can see the changes. You can see all the changes. You know, I'd often wondered how many, if I had kept a day-to-day log. I wished I had it's not made up in me to do that, but I wished I had it because I could see, you know, the changes that have been made over the years. You know, I can look at people here that have been here, some of them long time, and a lot of change has been made in them. I can even see the change in myself. As well, you know, where used to, we might just try to overcome some kind of a criticism of a believer, of a Christian brother or Christian sister before, and we just kind of put on a facade, and but inside now, if that comes up, I just cast it down. I said, I'm not accepting that in Jesus' name. I'm looking at the Jesus out of them, you know. We talked about this the other day on the Bible study. And that's just one instance where now we don't even allow those thoughts to enter our mind. We cast them down immediately. Criticism, judgmental type things against our brother or sister that's not in sin. It's just a something that they might do. They may be doing to irritate you, you know, or something like that. That's a darkness that has to come out of us. And that's where we're, you know, I said that to kind of show you what God's doing in people. And that's what we can do. We can look back and say, well, I can remember when I was very judgmental. I was very critical of other people that didn't think and do the way I did. Well, they're probably looking at me and said, how in the world could that guy get, could the Lord allow him over here, you know? Well, he's doing a work in me. And he's doing a work in everybody around us. And that's why we have to see the Jesus in everybody rather than their flesh. And that is so helpful to me to be able to do that, is to look at the Jesus in everybody rather than the flesh. If I looked at the flesh, I'd go nuts. I'm just telling you, the way I used to be. But now we just look at we look at Jesus in it. And they look at the Jesus in me, and they can handle me now, you know. So that's the way we look at it. That's good, Marla. Anybody else?
Michael, the scripture I got, I didn't get this randomly. I sort of searched for it, but it sort of addresses that, and it's Philippians 2, and the title is Unity Through Humility. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So that sort of addresses what you were just talking about.
Amen. And if you'll go also to verse 5, Marlene, it says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Praise God. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Being of one accord, too, one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory. We're supposed to cast that vain stuff out, aren't we? But in lowliness of mind, each counting others better than himself. And not looking. You know, we're servants of each other. We're servants of all of our brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus was to us. He was a servant to us. And that's what we're to be to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're servants of them. And we're brothers with Christ. We're doing the work with him. We're his body now. And so we're servants. We're not to lord it over anybody. And that was hard for a lot of people to get a hold of, you know. Well, I know more than you do, so you need to look at me. No. No. You need to just back off and give a lot of grace. And let that grace serve them until they get up to a level to be able to work with God, you know. That's a good one there, boy. I like that. Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. That's what he's talking about there. We're servants of each other. Servants of Christ or servants of each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's something we don't ever need to forget. If I don't own anything, just like we talked about last night. I don't own anything. It all belongs to the body of Christ. And that's the way every one of us ought to have that type of mentality. My money is not mine. I'm a steward of the things that God has allowed me to have, but it's not mine. It belongs to the body of Christ. If somebody needs it, bless God, they're getting it. You know? And that's the way Jesus was. That's the way he wants us to be. And when we all get to that place of where we believe that and we walk that out, that we are servants of the brothers and sisters in Christ, ooh, that's when one accord comes pretty quick behind it. Amen. Okay, anybody else?
I got Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone, when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, two lie together. They have warmth, but how can one be warm alone? And if a man prevail against him that is alone, two shall withstand him, and threefold cord is not easily, not quickly broken.
Amen. My Bible's getting messed up here. Hang on. Yep, and the threefold cord is not quickly broken, right? Amen. That was you, wasn't it, Angelica?
Yes.
Yeah. Sir. Okay.
I would like to just mention, you know, I'm really.
I'm not hearing you. Can anybody hear Angelica?
No.
Angelica, we're not hearing you, hon. For some reason. Can I read that again? I'm going to read that again. Two are better than one, but yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, I don't know what happened there.
I don't know.
I just wanted to say real quick, I'm sorry, you know, I'm fairly young. I'm 33 here, and the Lord raised me up pretty quickly. I don't have a lot of fellowship where I'm at. I have Lisa and Albert, and of course, Albert works a lot, and Lisa, they live on the other side of town. We do fellowship once a week, but, you know, like I said, I don't have a lot of like-minded believers. And a lot of the things that I go through, these trials, I really don't have anybody to kind of talk to about other than Albert and Lisa every now and then when I'm able, because nobody really can, you know, a person from church can't understand what I'm talking about when you know, when we're going to die into the self and stuff like that. So I kind of sometimes fall into that mentality like, well, you know, it's just me and the Lord and, you know, you know, I have to go through this on my own, and it gets really difficult that way. But I know the Word speaks otherwise, and I get really discouraged.
Amen. Well, I know what you're talking about. It seems like we're alone out there at times. But you know, God's there. And that's what I had to keep reminding myself when I was back away from the church and just seeking the Lord on my own. And I had to, I just knew that God was with me and in everything that we were doing. And then finally, he sent somebody that we could fellowship with, that people that were hungry for the Lord and wanted to know more about the Lord. And so we all got together and started learning, you know. So, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But you're not alone. You've got
Amen,
Albert. Yeah.
Praise God for this phone line. Actually, it's been a real blessing. Everybody,
yeah.
Just listening to everybody.
Amen. Well, all right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael. It's Albert. Excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead, Albert.
It's kind of interesting that this all come up, because I was actually going to ask for prayer for our group. You know, the old nature, the old ways. You know, and you know, a lot of us come out of families that, you know, I know I did. They did a lot of gossip, and one person would walk out of the room, they talk about it, and they walk back in, they talk about somebody else. And you know, so these ways, you know, were developed in us when we were young people and we didn't know any better. And the Lord has separated us, you know, unto him, and he's shown us his ways. You know, he gives us scriptures. You know, I was looking in Proverbs, Chapter 6:16, it says, there are six things which God hated, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that divides with purposes, feet that are swift of running to mischief, a false witness that others lie, and he that sells discord among the brethren. When I came to the Lord, you know, we were chasing after the Lord, and we left the Catholic Church and went to a couple different churches, deliverance ministries and things. And there was a lot of, you know, we didn't realize it at the time, but, you know, we didn't know there was anything wrong with, to be honest with you. well, I guess you always know there's something wrong with it, but, you know, the Lord has his timing. But, you know, they gossip and they talk about people. I remember there was one fellowship I was in that, you know, the leader of the group would, you know, call people out and tell them, I cast these demons out of you, and I did this. You know, and they call them out on their sin and just rail on people all the time. And you know, the Lord called us out of there, obviously, moved us on. But, you know, these things impact our lives, you know, and we need to repent of these things. We really need to get deliverance. As we're renewing our minds and we're believing on God, and when we read the Word and believing, you know, what He says is true, and that He despises and hates these things, you know, He don't hate us. He loves us. He's showing us these things are wrong because He loves us, that we would repent and turn and be obedient. You know, agape love is obedience. So, you know, so we're kind of going through this now. You know, I've seen it and. You know, been around UVM for a while, and I've seen it. I remember, you know, there was a brother who used to be with UVM, and he preached on, you know, be willing to suffer unjustly, you know, and he preached about that. But then, you know, one time there was offense against him, and he wasn't willing to just suffer unjustly. You know, it's, you know, we can't speak one thing and do another, right? We believe the Word. You know, we have to live it. It has to be our lives, and it crucifies the flesh. It puts us to death. And I know Angelica has been chasing after the Lord, and she's a sweet young woman, and she's raising a beautiful young child. I love him. But you know, it's tough. You know, and sometimes we feel alone, and God has us in that place. You know, where He can teach us. So, you know, this Sunday we plan on getting together and praying and casting any spirits of faction or rebellion, all these different spirits that are just in disobedience to God. And the Lord wants to have us, and we're believing on God to deliver us from any of these spirits. But we just ask our brothers and sisters tonight, I'll pray a little bit, if you disagree with me. Because if you don't turn, if you don't disagree with the spirits, if you think it's okay, you know, and you know, we talked a few times about husbands and wives. David preaches on husbands and wives. You know, okay, so I don't gossip about people when I'm, you know, in the church group, but as soon as everybody leaves, me and my wife, it's okay for me to talk about people and think that's incorrect and that is wrong, right? So you know, these things crucify the old man, you know. We think behind closed doors that we can hear, but God can hear. So, you know, we're learning to believe the Lord and we're believing on the Lord to deliver us from these things and continues to grow us in His Son. So I'm just going to pray here. God, we love You, Lord, and we want to be obedient to You, Lord. And we know that our obedience shows our love to You. And we know what Your Word says about these things, Lord. And, you know, we want to love people like Jesus loved them. We want to look at them and see the pain and suffering, the things that have caused them to be the way they are, and have the ability to love and pray for them, Lord God. And we thank You, Father, for the group that we have. And we thank You, Lord, that You're going to deliver us from these things, Lord. And You're going to continue to grow us in Jesus and bless us, Lord God, with Your Word and the meat of the Word, Lord God. We don't want the milk. We want the meat. We want to grow up and we want to be mature, Father, so You can use us for Your kingdom. And we pray for our children, Lord God, and the things they've seen us do and say and the actions You've done in front of them, Lord God. We pray, Father, we bind all the spirits involved in that in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and we ask, Father, that You have grace and mercy on them. And we know whatever we ask, believe that we have received it, Lord, that it's ours, Lord, and we believe in that, Lord. So we ask You, Father, this today, starting today, and through Sunday, Lord God, that you would do a mighty work in us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord God, as we confess our sins and we turn away from our sins, we repent of our sins, Lord God. We know these things are wrong. When we see something in someone else and we think you've shown us something that's bad in someone else, you want us to pray for them and love them, Lord God, or it's not from you, Lord. So forgive us for our self-righteousness and pride, Lord God, and deliver us from these things, because we don't want them. We want to be humble and meek. We want to be quiet, Lord. We love you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, we put our faith together with Albert and Angelica and all of them down there in that area, Lord, that are going to be coming together Sunday. Father, we just ask for great and bold discernment, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that there's going to be a mighty work done there. And we praise you, Father, that you have people like that, that want to serve you, Lord, and are overcomers. And Lord, we thank you for the servant's heart that you've given Albert, and we just praise you, Lord, that we're going to see a mighty work down there. There's going to be a lot of people saved because of it. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to be the one in charge. Nobody's in charge but you. You told us that this is your ministry. It's not any one man's ministry. It's Jesus' ministry. And Lord, we thank you because we know that you got the power. You have the authority over all the power of the enemy, and you have given that to us. We receive it, and we're going to use it against the enemy, and people are going to be set free, delivered, and set free, Father, and we thank you for it. Lord, place it in our hearts to be praying for this little group down there in Houston. We praise you, Lord, or Galveston, I'm sorry. And, Lord, we thank you that there's going to be a mighty outpouring of your Spirit because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody got a testimony or a praise report or would just like to continue talking about what we're talking about?
I have a praise report.
Okay.
yesterday I was trying to multitask, and I know the Lord has been speaking to me that I need to stop that, but anyway, I got myself in some hot stuff. Anyway, I turned the wrong burner on my stove, and I had a cutting board on there, a plastic one, and so, okay, I'm out of the room for a little bit, and I come back, and I see this red burner, and the whole middle of the cutting board was melted out, and I kind of go into a panic because I didn't want to ruin the top of my stove, and so I grabbed that off. Well, I got some of that, the hot melted plastic, on a couple of my fingers, and it was, oh my goodness, that was some real pain. And you know, you can't get it off. It is there. And but anyway, the Lord helped me to get that off of the stove. It didn't ruin the stovetop, and he took away the pain, and I still have that white spot on my thumb, but absolutely no pain at all. And I had one other finger that got some of that hot plastic on too, but I just thank the Lord for his faithfulness. It just healed up. We prayed for it, and it was just a short while, and all the pain was gone. And honestly, I wouldn't even have known where I had touched it, and it really was pain when it happened. And I just thank the Lord for healing my hand.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God.
Yep. It's just amazing how he can take that pain away and heal that up, that it doesn't even hurt. That is just amazing because, I mean, it was a big blister. There's no blister. It's just white, but it's totally healed. I mean, it just no pain at all. Anyway, that was my praise report.
Amen. That's a good one, too. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. I know how that plastic hurts when
oh,
it's hot
goodness.
And melted.
And you can't get it off of you. I mean, it is on you, and it doesn't help to run water over it. It still sticks to you.
I know it.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But I also thank you for helping me to get the stovetop cleaned off, you know, so that it didn't ruin anything. Everything is just fine. But
awesome.
It was definitely a lesson for me. Pay attention to what I'm doing.
Amen.
So, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
That was awesome, Gaynell. Good testimony. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For sure.
That old plastic can burn forever if you don't know the Lord. Okay, anybody else?
I have a praise report. Yesterday, the telephone pole in our yard fell down, and praise the Lord, it didn't hit our house, and it wasn't for, I don't know if it was telephone or electricity, but anyway, we didn't lose anything. It was all the next door neighbor's power or whatever. So we still have the pole in our yard, but it didn't hit the house. So praise the Lord.
What brought it down?
We had a lot of wind, and my husband said he had noticed it quite a while ago, even last year, that when we'd have a windstorm, it was moving, was kind of wobbling, but I guess I forgot he told me, and finally it just cracked. But praise the Lord, nobody was hurt, and the neighbors have all their power back on, and anyway, to God be the glory, no harm done.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anyone else?
Hello?
Hey, Andrew.
Hey. A couple of conference calls ago, I was quoting this verse from Ephesians, but I didn't tell you everything that actually happened that day when I was studying this portion of Ephesians. And I kept it back. Well, it was that verse where Ephesians 1, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in the Christ when he raised him from the dead. So, I was reading these verses, and I was studying Ephesians here, I had some chores to do, go to the store and get some groceries later on that day, and I was thinking about these verses as I was leaving the building I live in, and as soon as I opened the door, there was like this misty rain coming down. Like it wasn't like a hard rain, but it was like a drizzle, you know, and I was going, oh, I don't know if I want to go out in that. And I said, well, I got to get these groceries. So I went out, and then I said, well, what if I just pray here and for the rain to stop? Because I've always heard about when you guys do this, and I said, wouldn't it be neat if that ever happened with me? And I always wanted it to. I wasn't thinking of that at that time, but I just said, okay, I'm going to pray for it to stop. And then I was going to turn around and come back in and get my jacket. And the Lord stopped me from turning around, and I was going, well, what's going on here? And I went, oh, yeah, I just prayed. I better continue going. And then I said, as I was walking to the store, it was still misting, and I said, well, yeah, this has to be taken care of now by the Lord, because I've heard people say that at Unleavened Bread. Now it's out of my hands, you know. So I started walking towards the store, and it was about maybe a mile away. And I walked down one of the side streets because there's less traffic there. And I was walking under the trees where, because it was just enough misty rain coming down that it would keep the asphalt dry where you're walking if you were under the trees. But when I got out from under the trees, there was no more rain. And I went, oh, that's neat. And I went, thank you, Lord. And then I said, Lord, can you keep it from raining while I go to the store, while I'm in the store shopping, and on my way home, so that I would have it nice and dry? Because it did look like it was going to just like open up and start pouring any minute. And I got to the store, did my groceries. I didn't rush. And came back out, and the asphalt and the cement sidewalks were all dry. And I went, well, that's nice. You know, I guess my prayer was answered there, too. And then I started coming home, and I came through the front door. And as soon as I came through the front door, closed it and locked it, I said, Lord, now you can make it rain if you want it to. But if there is someone else praying to you, Lord, that that the rain not rain for a while, then I'm going to leave that into your hands. So I put the bags on the table and it was unpacking everything. And I did it nice and slow. I just wasn't rushing because it's the weekend. And then I came into my chair and sat down and looked out my patio door. And it was just pouring. And I went, well, that's a nice cover. You even waited for me to sit down. And then it was pouring outside, and I went, oh, praise God that he stopped the rain. And it was very interesting that, you know, I wanted to go back in and get my jacket. And it was like I couldn't even turn around to do that. And so I asked for forgiveness for that, because that's not walking through with your prayer there. And I at the time, you know, it was just all happening, and I wasn't like over enthused or excited about it. It was just happening, and I never really said anything about it, because sometimes people might think, well, everyone else is getting answers to prayer for things like this, and some people might be thinking, well, I'm not really getting any answers. And that was my thought, too, on that, you know, that would never really happen for me. But it did. And it was right after a study, and I got these verses highlighted in some blue, especially the one about strength of his might, which he wrought in the Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at the right in the heavenlies. And I was going, this is, what is that exceeding greatness of his power toward us, you know, and who believe, you know. And it seemed to all flow through when I went for my groceries for the stopping of the rain. And it wasn't misting when I got home. It was like pouring. And that was interesting. Anyway, so praise God.
Amen. Yep, I love it when God does that. I truly do. That's awesome, Andrew. God loves us that much. You know, he loved God so much, he stopped the whole universe for a day. He can stop a little rain for us. Thank you, Lord, for showing us, Lord, that you care that much for us, that you just stop the weather when we need it stopped, Lord. Thank you so much for that, Father. Amen.
Man, thank you, Andrew, for sharing. That was encouraging.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Well, what was it? Let's see. We asked the Lord, what's it going to take for us to get in, to come into that one accord that you want us in, Lord? What's it going to take for us to get into that one accord All right. Anybody get a word on that?
Yeah, Michael. I asked for a word yesterday morning and this morning both, and I'll read the one from yesterday morning first. It's in Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, let us press on into perfection, not laying against the foundation of repentance from dead works or of faith toward God, of the teaching of baptism and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And I guess what I got out of that is they don't want us to stay where we're at the beginning, at the first principles. He wants us to go on and to bear the fruit of Jesus and to keep going forward with him instead of staying where we're at. And the second one I got was 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, yeah. I thank him that enabled me, even Christ Jesus our Lord, for that he counted me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, howbeit I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And I guess out of that I got, you know, it's his grace and mercy that we can do anything. And we just have to always realize that it's not our works, it's his works in us. I guess that's what I got for those two different days.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us into that realm right there. That, Lord, we want you to count us faithful and to appoint us into this service that you have for us, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that you're doing all of that. We know how we was before, but you gave us mercy and grace, and you taught us, and you're teaching us all the way, Lord. You're teaching us how to become perfect in you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for that. We're putting on that robe of righteousness every day. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
I can share the ones that I got.
Okay.
I got a couple also. The first one I got is from Luke 10, verse 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And that is just really straightforward. I mean, that's his command to us. And I thought it couldn't be more perfect. And the next one that I got, actually my hand was on a cross-reference, but I want to read Colossians 2, verse 20 and 21, and then drop down and read a few verses from chapter 3. So Colossians 2, verse 20 is, if ye died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, do ye subject yourselves to ordinances? Handle not, nor taste, nor touch, all things which things are to perish with the using after the precepts and doctrines of men. So in those verses, he's telling us, you know, let's not go by man's things, but by his. And then I was dropping down to chapter 3, and I was going to read 1 through 4, because this is what he really wants us to do rather than following man's traditions. If then ye were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are upon the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. And he just wants us to take on the image of Jesus. And, you know, first it's by faith, and then it's by manifestation, little by little. And that's how we can come into one accord. And those were the two that I got. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this along, for maturing us, Lord, so we can manifest Jesus Christ in our life. Thank you, Lord.
It's truly His work in us.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? You know, those verses that you just gave, that's something we've been talking about all night long, is getting rid of the flesh. And that's what He wants us to do. We get rid of the flesh. Like we talked about many times before, this old flesh that we have now in our natural bodies is supposed to be a mule for our spiritual for our spiritual man. It takes us where our spiritual man is supposed to go, and not the flesh taking us where it wants to go, but we want it to take us where our spirit man wants to go, has to go. And thank you, Lord. We're getting there. All right, anybody else?
Oh, Michael, I got the Philippians 2 really dealt more with the unity, but by random, I got Isaiah 58, starting at verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail.
What was that reference again, Marlene?
That was Isaiah 58:6-11.
Amen. That's a good one.
Amen.
You want to read that Philippians?
Yeah, let me get it. Okay, Philippians 2, verses 1-4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's nailed it there, too. That you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. What's that mind supposed to be? That's supposed to be Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
Doing nothing through faction, is what my version says. Through faction, which is division, or through vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, each counting others better than himself. Not looking, each of you, to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Amen. That's one accord. That's what you call coming into one accord right there. That's one another part of it right there. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you show us these things, that you help us to work through these things, Lord. Help us to come into that same mind of Christ that you want us to be in, and have that same love of Christ in our hearts, Lord, so that we can come into that one accord. That you're teaching us not to do anything through divisiveness, not to do anything through vanity, but we do it in the lowliness of your mind, and we don't count ourselves any better than anyone else, Lord. Not looking each of you to his own things, Lord. Don't let us look to our own things, because they're not ours, they're yours. And what you've given us these things so that we can help the brethren. And I praise you, Father. We do this because we want the mind of Christ. We want the actions of Christ. We want the fruit of Christ in our lives, Lord. And we praise you, Father, that you're bringing us into that realm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That is an absolute good one there. All right, anybody else? Anybody got any comments on that? Or on any of those that have just been given?
Yeah, hey, Michael.
Yeah, Chad.
Charity and I are really being blessed by all that's being shared here, and thinking on the passage in Isaiah 58, the Lord had me studying that, meditating on that for a while. It's a while ago now, but he's been bringing it back to my attention again, and that promise in there of that the Lord will guide us continually is like, you know, that's such a blessing to me, because that's a promise. You know, that's one of his many promises to us. And I've been reading through Salvation Instant and Progressive, and I was reading there yesterday about, you know, that the promises of God. David says in there, it's like towards the end of the last chapter of the book, that the promises of God are the power of God, or the power of God are the promises of God. And so this is a promise, and then of course there are conditions to that promise, which was just shared there, Isaiah, it was 58:6-11. And so I've been asking the Lord how I can do my part more and coming into this one accord, and how can we, you know, so I took that question before the Lord, and something that he's been leading me to do is to seek him and be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit each day and praying for others, you know, in the body. How can I sacrifice myself in prayer more by the leading of the Spirit, and, you know, let the Lord work through me what he wants to work and do warfare on behalf of others, because the Lord always knows what all the needs are. And so I've been finding him, you know, doing that throughout the day, is whether I'm busy doing something or whether I need to just stop and sit down and enter into a deeper intercession at times, because sometimes I'll feel such a heavy burden that I just I almost can't function it anymore, and I finally realized that's the Spirit of God giving me a burden to pray, because it took me a while. I'm a little rather slow in some areas, but the Lord's been helping me to get it. You know, I started experiencing that some years ago, probably about, well, I've experienced it off and on for, you know, quite a while, but I'd say about 5 or 6 years ago, the Lord really started training me in that more. I'd feel this just incredible heaviness. And at first I'd think, oh, what's this depression coming on me for, you know, because I was too ignorant to realize it was the Spirit of God. I wasn't discerning. It was the Spirit of God coming on me to pray. So finally, I'd feel so heavy, I'd just have to sit down, and then I'd start praying in the Spirit, and sometimes just pray in tongues. Usually that's what the Lord leads me to do. Once in a while, I'll get some specific things to pray for in English, but generally I just sit down and pray in tongues, and then it'll, you know, sometimes it'll lift after about 20 to 30 minutes. I'll feel peace again. I'll feel really light in the Spirit. And then, you know, I realized, well, okay, that was a burden to pray, but then I'd feel that heaviness again, and, oh, man, why am I feeling depressed? It just took me a while to get that, but finally I realized it's a burden to pray, and that I just need to, you know, sacrifice time and whatever I'm doing, maybe stop whatever I'm doing at the moment or give up something else that that I either need or want to do so I can enter into that intercession. And so sometimes it's that, but then sometimes he'll just quicken somebody to my mind to pray for while I'm doing something that needs to get done. So there are different levels of that, but that's something that the Lord has been showing me that I can do to enter more into that and to pray for that and intercede for that and be a part of that. It's just how can I sacrifice my life more right where I'm at? Because I know the Lord, the Lord has Terry and I here in the Portland area for such a time as this, and he'll move us out when he's ready, and we're just we're at peace knowing he's taking care of us, and he will take care of us as long as we're in his will. So things are good there. It's just at the same time, like, okay, well, how can I enter in for, my brothers and sisters here that are a part of this fellowship, and then, of course, others in the body, that the Lord has us connected with around this area. So, that's just been really wonderful that that the Lord does that, and that as I find myself entering more into the rest there and just letting the Lord do it, and learning how to yield to Him, it's much more effective that way. It's not me trying to figure out how I can do it, but looking to the Lord and then letting Him reveal what He wants to reveal and learn how to be led more, of Him each day. Julie, our sister Julie from San Diego, has the Lord has enabled to come up here now three times now or twice, and she stayed with Charity and I here for a week. Last time she was able to come up, she was able to stay with us for about a week, and so we had just had some really wonderful times in fellowship, and we're seeing how the Lord is bringing His body together, like those that are really seeking Him and wanting Him with their whole hearts. He's bringing together in clusters. That's what we're seeing happen in different parts of this area here. And so Charity was reminding me of a time we spent together with Barry and Marilyn out in Washington, which is it's about a couple hours from here. Actually, we met halfway the first time Julie was able to come up and stay with us. And so we got together with Barry and Marilyn, who are part of the UBM Fellowship. And they we got together and had a nice time together at dinner. And then afterwards, we got into Barry and Marilyn's vehicle afterwards, and the Lord just led us to start getting into prayer. And wow, we entered into over an hour of intercession there together. And then Marilyn brought to our attention we were sitting in her Honda Accord, so there were five of us there in one Accord. in their Accord there. That was neat. But something too that I've noticed and that I've been paying attention to and that the Lord has helped me to be really watchful about is that the enemy is really warring hard against this unity in the body. As I've been, finding myself needing to really guard against subtle thoughts. It can be about any number of things concerning anybody in the UBM Fellowship or my other brothers and sisters that the Lord has Charity and I in contact with over here in this part of the country, or just any number of things, very, very subtle thoughts, and trying to plant little seeds in there, little snakes to try and mess up what the Lord is wanting to do here, what He is doing, what He's wanting to do more of, which is bring us together into unity. So I praise the Lord. He's been helping me to see that, recognize that more and more, that it's these little foxes that come in and want to nibble away at the vine, and it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, and I understand more now why Jesus said that. So I've been recognizing that and by the grace of God, doing warfare against that also. And it's also been an encouragement at the same time, because I know that the Lord is really serious. He's really upping the ante on this unity, because I know once we come together in that one accord, that's where the Lord's going to command the blessing. So a lot of the warfare I'm finding is to hold to the unity of the faith that the Lord has brought us to thus far, and then to contend for more of that, you know, for the to live the self-sacrificing life that is pleasing to the Lord, and that will enable Him to bring us into that place of where we're a continual burnt offering, like corporately. There's each of us got to be a continual burnt offering, but then also corporately, that we come to that place where, you know, the Lord is pleased and He's going to pour out the blessing. And I believe that's where we'll be prepared for the latter rain outpouring. So in contending for that's huge right now. And so I'm so thankful to see what the Lord's doing on here in each one, and, you know, what everybody's sharing. It's so edifying. It's very, very edifying. And I'm just, we're so thankful to be a part of it. And we just pray, may God be glorified in, you know, in all of us, and have His way. So, amen.
Amen. Chad, this is Marlene. I found it interesting that you got the same verse, Isaiah 58, and then back in September 8th, we both got Proverbs 2, verses 3 to 9.
Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. That's encouraging.
I thought that was interesting. Speaking of unity, you know, praise the Lord.
Yeah, I take that as an encouraging confirmation. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. You know, you hit on something there, Chad. It's been a blessing to me since we started doing these words from the Lord on specific topics. It's been such a blessing to me that everybody is participating, and even commenting on the revelations to them. You know, it's just a real blessing to see how God's working with these verses and answering the questions that we've asked. You know, it's awesome. And tonight is no exception. It's just awesome the way God's putting this together. You know, amen. Okay, anybody else?
Can I ask for prayer?
Okay, Angelica.
I think it was Chad who kind of just he mentioned how he felt, how the Lord was showing him how to how, you know, to recognize when the enemy is just kind of eating away at the vine, and that kind of just describes the way, how I feel right now. I just feel like my fruit's being destroyed. I feel like I'm kind of walking backwards from where the Lord had me, and I'm just really struggling with some just stuff, and I don't know where I am, and just really struggling with some things inside myself, and I just don't want to you know, revert back to my old ways, you know, and I would just ask that anybody would lift me up in their prayers if the Lord puts it on their heart.
Well, amen. Lord, we just lift up Angelica to you. Lord, we thank you for your clarity of thought. We thank you, Lord, that you're leading her, you're directing her in the way you want her to go. And we ask, Lord, that you place it in her discernment to discern anything that's trying to attack her. We come against the enemy right now, any kind of confusion, any kind of struggle, any kind of demon spirit that's trying to hinder her walk. We command you to go from her right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that she has clarity of thought because she's listening to you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that these distractions that come around her, Lord, are just that. They're just distractions to try to keep her away from the Lord, from you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're focusing her on you. We thank you, Father, that she's going forward in this walk that you've got her in. And Lord, We just praise you and we glorify you. And we ask, Lord, that you teach her how to just praise you, Lord, in these times of struggles. And that's what we all need to do, is just praise you, Lord, and just praise our way through it. Just like in the Old Testament, they would just put all the praising worshipers up ahead of the army to praise and worship, and you took care of all the enemy. And we just praise you, Lord, that you're going to teach us that. You're going to teach us how to praise you through all the trials and the tribulations, just like Job did. And, Lord, we just praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray?
Amen, yes. And we just bind up spirits of doubt and unbelief and condemnation in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
God be the glory.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. I love that song. All right, anybody else get a word?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I got Exodus 5:3. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us, let us go. We pray thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and sacrifice unto Jehovah our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. He's got me saying to us, we need all have to sacrifice. And I think the sacrifice, Lord, talking about is our flesh.
Amen. That's exactly right. Lord, we thank you for taking this flesh. We're going to give it to you. We surrender it to you, Father. We surrender all of our flesh to you, Lord. You do with it what you want, Lord, because we don't want it. All we want is you. We want to be next to you, Lord. We want to be as close to you as we can, Lord. I want to be sitting up in your lap all the time, what I want to be. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all these wonderful verses you've given us, Lord. And this one says, and they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword. Praise God. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. We want to get into that wilderness and get on back out of it quick as possible. I'll be glad when this thing starts, won't y'all? I know we say that, but praise God. All right, anybody else?
Hello?
Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, I got one of those verses there again where I thought, well, why did he put me in here, you know? And it was in Numbers 33:42. And it's when the children of Israel are going through the wilderness. It's the wilderness journeys. And it's just got a lot of verses there, like, and they departed from Zalmona and pitched in Punon. And it just goes several verses describing where they were and where they went to. And but of course, the verses at the end of that that chapter 50 is when the Lord speaks to Moses in the plains of Moab and by Jordan near Jericho, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and pluck down all their high places, and ye shall dispose the inhabitants of the land, and that dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it, and ye shall drive the drive the land, by, divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more shall be given more inheritance, and to the fewer shall be given less inheritance. And, well, to the very end, you know, he tells them about to drive the out the inhabitants of the land from before you, and it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land where ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. So it's a strict command that this land has to be a clean land. That sort of reminds me of the parable of the sower, and we need to be in that fourth land, that good land, bearing fruit. And I took that verse right after I asked for a verse right after we were doing the fear of the Lord, because it was from the last question. While it was all fresh in my mind, and he gave me this wilderness journey that we're in, that we have to become in one accord through our wilderness journey. And I think it really helps when you have a conference call and you're talking to other people about some of the things they go through. Like even when they go through some trials, and sometimes, you know, you really can't put your finger on what this might be that's coming against you. And you go, well, what is this? But at least you can identify that there is something there that's a trial that you're going through. And I don't know necessarily if you just have to identify what kind of trial it is or what kind of a temptation it is that's tempting you at the time, but just to put it down at that time. And I got another two verses. That was the first one. The other verse was in 1 John 3:24. That one's pretty straightforward. And who keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he in him. And hereby we shall know that he abide in us by the Spirit whom he gave us. And the other verse I got was 2 Peter 1:19. And of course that was an exciting one. And we have the word of prophecy more sure, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as a lamp shining in a murky place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And that was 1:19, 2 Peter. And of course, whereto is, we have to know that whereto be in one accord. And the other ones are pretty much self-explanatory about his commandments and to abide in him, and he to abide in us by the Spirit whom he gave us. Well, those were the verses. I really like that 58:6-11. I'm going to go and look at that one. Praise God.
Amen. Well, that 2 Peter 1:19 is pretty good. That's the mature. Until the day star arises in your hearts, that's the maturity that God's looking for in all of us. Praise God. And we do that by coming into one accord with Christ and with our brothers and sisters. Ooh, my goodness. You remember what happened at the Pentecost? They were all up there praying and praising God, and then that wind came. Ooh, shook the world. Praise the Lord. That's what the Lord told me almost 5 years ago. When we come into one accord, that's when the glory is coming. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Well, I got Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 4. And the glory of the Lord mounted up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Ooh, my. You know, y'all know the story, but I'm going to apply this to what we're looking at here, and that's coming into one accord. The court was full of, this is what's going to happen when we come into that one accord. The glory of the house will be filled with the cloud, the Shekinah glory, and the brightness of the Lord's glory will be coming in, and he'll infuse us with his glory. Now, I understand where this verse is and what it's talking about in the context of the whole chapter, but we're talking about what we're asking the Lord. What is it going to take for us to get into one accord? And I believe he's just showing us that this is what's going to happen afterwards. Now, if you take it in the context of the chapter, of course, it's the Lord leaving the temple there. But we're not believing that. We're believing the Lord's coming into the temple. He's going to be glorifying the temple. His Shekinah glory is going to fill us up to overflowing, and we're going to be splashing over to everybody around us. People's lives are going to be changed because of this one accord that we're coming into, that God's going to bring us into. Lives are going to be changed, y'all. When this happens, when this great, mighty work of God starts, ooh, my goodness, that's going to, some, if not all of you, are going to be filled so full of God that people will want to flock to you, just like a moth after a light, just like they did Jesus. He couldn't get any rest because of the people that flocked to him. They knew that he was life. They're going to know that y'all are life. They're going to know that we all are life. Once we come into that anointing that God's going to put on us. But this is the price we pray, that we pay to get there, and that's to lose the flesh, to get rid of the world, just like we've read all night long, these verses, you know, to get out of that mode of believing that we can pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, all God wants us to do is to cry out to him. That's all he wants. He wants us to look after him. And he wants us to cry up to him for this closeness to him. You know, he wants us to run after him with all of our hearts. Where is that? Let me see if I can find it right quick. I believe it's in 1 Peter. Well, anyway, it's just running after the Lord with all your heart. And to knock and ask and to seek and to knock until you get him to answer. Command ye me is what he told us back in Isaiah 45. Command ye me. Command ye me. Lord, we just ask and we thank you, Lord, to get us into that place of one accord, Lord. Get everybody in here, Lord. Into that place, you know, Lord, you see we've only got a handful of people in here, but there's other people going to be listening later, Lord. Bring us into that realm to where you want us, Lord, that we can be glorified in you, Lord. Praise God. Anybody got anything else they want to add to all of this? I'm still looking here, y'all.
Michael,
go ahead.
Jeremiah 29, verse 13 is, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Is that what you're looking for?
That's one of them. I'll find it here in just a minute. But, yes, that's one of them. We need to be crying out to the Lord. You told us to seek you. We're seeking you, Lord. And you said we'd find you, Lord. And we want to find you now. And we're going to hold you to it, Lord. We want you to find us. So we're looking for you. We're running after you with all our heart. That's one of them, yes. And I'll find it here strictly. That's what God wants. He wants us to run after him with all his heart. Here's another one accord in 1 Peter 3:8. He says, finally, be ye all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, and humble-minded. So there's a lot of them in there that tells us that. If we ask and we seek and we knock, we ask and we seek and we knock, and Lord, we want you to open that door to our hearts. Praise God. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to add or comment on? Okay. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore of sound mind and be sober unto prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves. Sorry about that. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourself, for love covereth a multitude of sins. Remember that verse. For love covereth a multitude of sins. If you love, you're going to give everything that they need. You're going to meet people's needs. And if you do that, we talked about it last night a little bit. If you do that, it covers a multitude of sins. He wants that love of Christ in our hearts to other people, doesn't he? Using hospitality, one to another without murmuring. Amen. Okay. Does anybody got anything they'd like to pray about or give a testimony about or comment on what we're talking about tonight? Well, we're almost done. I'm sorry, I can't find it right now. We'll have to look for it later. If we go after the Lord with all our heart, he's going to answer. It might take a while. I don't know. I've listened to Paul Washer the other night. He was talking about it. Well, I guess he was in seminary. And he was seeking God. He was crying out to God. Man, he was really crying out to God. God, I want more of you. You said here in your word, you know, and he'd quote that verse, that if we sought you with all our hearts, Lord, that you'd answer us. And spring break, I believe it was, some kind of a break. They got a week off. A bunch of his buddies and friends were going out to Colorado to a ski Bible time, you know. Bible time with skiing in there. And the Lord told him to go out to West Texas to the hill country. And he went out there and stayed out in the woods for a week. And crying out to the Lord. He said, if you'd have seen me, you'd have thought I was a wild man. He said, I got out there. I was yelling at the Lord. I want, you know, Lord, you said in your word. Lord, you said, you know, and I'm doing what I want you to come, Lord. I want you to come to me, Lord. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit big time. You said you'd cleanse me, Lord. You said. He said, I even got out there and started throwing rocks at him and screaming at the Lord. You know, you said, Lord. And he came back to school and still sought him. He kept seeking him. He said it was about 4 months he was doing that. He said, one day, he said, I was crying out to the Lord. He said, Lord, you said in your word that if I sought you with all my heart, that you'd find me. I'm still seeking, Lord, and I hadn't found you yet. Please come. He said, all of a sudden, he said, this great light came upon him. And this awesome, this power came on him, and he he balled up in a fetal position. He said if it had happened a second more, it would have destroyed him. He said, it was hurting me. He said, the sin that was in me was hurting. My flesh was hurting me. It was hurting so bad. And all of a sudden, he said, it was like the Lord just waved a wand or something, just waved his hand or something. And it went through my body, and it took all bondages out. It took everything out, and I was light, and I was free, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, it was just awesome what God did to him. And he said, I have become so close to God now since then. He said, I haven't left him. He said, I have followed close with him, and I have allowed the Lord to lead me the whole way. And that's where God wants us. He wants us to do that. He wants to lead us every step of the way. I want that, and I know y'all want that. But he says, seek him with all your heart. Run after him with all your heart. Listen, right now is the time to do it. There ain't nothing more important right now than running after God with all your heart. Amen. I remember the story of A.A. Allen also. I'm going to give you some stories here, but I don't want the stories no more. I want God. But I'm going to give them to you because it'll encourage you. A.A. Allen said one time he wanted more of God. He wanted the full glory of God. And he told his wife, he said, I'm going to go in that closet there. He said, you lock that closet. It don't make any difference what I say. He said, don't let me out now. A.A. Allen was from Sulphur Rock, Arkansas, which is just a few miles up the road from where I was grew up. But he said, he told his wife, said, don't let me out. You know, said, lock me in there. So he got in there, and boy, he was praying. He's praying. He got to smelling her fried chicken she was cooking for the kids. And he beat on the door. He said, let me out. Let me out. I'm hungry. He lost that battle. But he did it. He did it again. You know, he next day he got back in there and he said, don't let me out. He did that two or three times. He'd get the cooking in there, and he'd have to be let out and go in there to eat the cooking. But after a while, he just decided to sit in and find God. And he did, and he did, and he did. And he said it was the awesomest thing when God finally came down. He's just like Paul Washer, he said it was a great light that came into that closet. And it was hurting him, just like it did Washer. It was hurting him. And he said, it just washed over me and took all of that stuff out. And he said, I had power. He said, I had all of that stuff. He said, I knew that Jesus was there. I knew that he had infused me with the glory of God. And I knew that when I prayed, that God was listening and that people were going to get healed, delivered, and set free because of it. And praise God, that's exactly what happened. Y'all know, if you ever read anything about A.A. Allen, he had some miraculous healings. One of the most miraculous we shared here, that old R.W. Schambach told about, the little boy that had seven kinds of diseases, I believe is the way he put it. And God just healed him. The boy was just messed up. He was born that way. And Allen, of course, it wasn't anything Allen did. It was God doing the whole thing. Or even Schambach, you know. It was God did the whole thing. He's going to do the same thing in the days ahead and more things, he said. Yes, Lord. Praise God. All right, anybody else? I hope all of you went on the YouTube site and listened to that Asbury College revival of 1970. It was one of them was of the president that was recounting that, and the other one was a tape of the students, film of the students giving their testimonies about that revival back in 1970. And Malcolm has, you know, told us that it even got over into China, where he was at that time. So, yep, it was a good one. And also, I want to mention some other things to you if you want to get really encouraged. If you go to Sermon Index and just type in Sermon Index Compilation, and it's a montage of preachers talking about various subjects. And one of them is the fear of God. Another one is hungry for God. And another one is the few, talking about the few, not the many that walk on the broad world. It's the few. And they're encouraging words to you. They'll lift you up. They'll set you on fire. They did me. Praise God. It's people like David Wilkerson, Leonard Ravenhill, Paul Washer, people like in that, as many more, but those are just the ones that we all have heard of. But anyway, anybody got anything they want to add before we close out? Well, you know something? There's 6 of us left here. No, I'm sorry, 12 of us. There's 12 of us left here. And let's just pray for Julie. I don't know if she told you, Chad, but they're having riots in that town that she's in there in California because of a killing down there, the police.
Yeah, we got the email, so yeah, we've been concerning that. So that'd be good, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Father, we just ask for your protection upon the policemen and the citizens of that town, and we bind up the rebellious spirits that are trying to cause anarchy in that town in Jesus' name, and we bind you up and cast you out. You have not any right there in Jesus' name. We bind you up to where you can't do any harm to that city. We bind up all the spirits that are trying to come into that city and cause trouble in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to prevail there. And Lord, that many lives are going to be saved because of it. And Father, we just count it all as null and void, the things that the enemy's trying to do in that town, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We command that spirit of racism, black and white, in Jesus' name, to leave that town, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to do a mighty work there. And it's going to look like it's going to be something, but it ain't going to be nothing, because we prayed the prayer of faith and we believe. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for peace in that town in the name of Jesus. What's the name of that town, Chad?
It's El Cajon. It's a suburb of San Diego.
Yeah, El Cajon. Thank you, Lord, for delivering El Cajon of that spirit of anarchy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Set your people to praying down there, Father. We thank that. We thank you in Jesus' name. If y'all think about it when we get off, maybe you want to, Lord, I have you pray in the spirit for them. Thank you, Father. Well, all right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to pray about for me? Close out tonight. Thank you for all these verses. Take a look at them when we get off and study them, and you'll see something there. Has anybody got it? Go ahead.
I'm just going to pray concerning this unity, spirit of unity that we're talking about.
Okay.
The Lord's been stirring up in us. So, Lord, I thank you so much for all that your spirit brought forth to the table tonight. And I thank you for the grace to come together, Lord, and to partake of the unleavened bread, Lord. Father, I pray for your wisdom and your guidance for each of us, that we may enter more into this day by day, Lord, that each day we'd be in the race, Lord, drawing closer to you, having fervent love for one another, and teach us more even what that is, Lord. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts and give us understanding, Lord, that we may live before you and be pleasing in your sight, Lord, unto all that is good and all that is right and all that is necessary, Lord, according to your perfect will, Lord, because your word says in Romans 12, and two, that we can come to know and recognize as we renew our minds with your word what your good and what your well-pleasing and even your perfect will is, Lord. And I just pray for the revealing of your perfect will for each one of us, Lord, and that we would settle for nothing less, Lord, because your word says it. And the world needs that witness, Lord. Those you want to call out of the world and out of apostate Christianity needs to see the truth, Lord. And we pray, let it be in us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your unity. I want to ask a question. Is there any question that anybody has come up with that they'd like to ask the Lord for next week?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Megan.
I want to ask the Lord that how to seek him.
Okay. How to seek the Lord. Anybody want to add anything to it?
Well, I'm just thinking how to seek the Lord and be sure that we're seeking him, you know, how to know that we're really seeking him and not any of our own desires or pleasures, but just really seeking him with an honest and sincere heart. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, how to seek the Lord and be sure that we're on the right track. Be sure that... Okay.
You know, so that he can convict us, you know, where we're not, that we know that we're in the way and seeking him, the way, capital W way. And that,
okay. That's good.
That that he'd convict us where we're not, that his word says he'll put in us a new heart. He'll put his desires in us. And so, amen.
Okay. That's what it's going to be. How to seek the Lord and be sure that we are in the way. And if we're not, convict us of that. Okay, that's what it's going to be. Do I need to send out an email to that effect, you reckon? Yeah, I better, because there's only 12 of us in here tonight.
It helps us remember, too.
Okay, all right, that's good. I'll do it. Well, all right, Lord, we just thank you for a good night tonight. It was awesome, Father. I thank you for all the participation. I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us, you're bringing us into it. This realm. Good gracious, what is that? That's Angelica. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks.